I'd like to call to order the Tuesday, April 12, 2016 meeting of Perry Township Board of Supervisors, and I invite everyone to stand and pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Joe, may I please have the roll call?
Member Matt Weir.
Here.
Member Justin Engel.
Here.
Member Susan Court.
Here.
Member John Foley.
Here.
Chairman Mark Moyer.
Here. At this time, I'd like to invite visitor and public comments. If you would like to address the Board of Supervisors, before we begin that, I apologize. Thank you. I'd like to announce that we met in executive session for today's meeting to discuss legal and personnel issues, and I'd like to remind those in attendance that although it's posted within the meeting room, those persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. That being said, I would now like to invite visitor and public comments. If you wish to address the Board of Supervisors, please come to the podium. Identify yourself by stating your name and your place of residence, and I ask that you confine your comments to no more than 3 minutes.
Rich Campbell, 39 Hartford Road. The only reason I want to mention this is during the meeting at the end when you go through your committee reports, each one of you are a member of a certain committee, and I was just wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing if you met and what was discussed. Mr. Engel's been very cooperative as far as with this committee, so I mean everybody's on a committee, so if you could report, did you meet, did you not meet, or what was the topic, for example, the TIF committee? We haven't heard anything about that lately. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greetings.
Hi. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good.
What's
thank
on
you.
Your mind?
Well, I'm going to follow my notes to make sure I stay on task here. You'll recall that I addressed the group last month, and it was regarding the proposed foreclosure ordinance that you're going to be voting on tonight. And speaking on behalf of Dairy Cares, our desire to partner with the township on this and general maintenance issues. In response to that request in our conversation, Mr. Emmerich forwarded a draft of the foreclosure document, and we responded with our comments. So I thank you for that. And we, as I looked at the document, we applaud the township's desire to address the maintenance issues, beginning with the foreclosed projects or properties. That's absolutely the right place to start. We agree with what was in the ordinance in terms of the commentary that poor maintenance leads to a declining property value and subsequently declining tax base. That said, while the intentions of the proposed ordinance are admirable, the proposed solution represents additional layers of administrative bureaucracy without addressing the core property maintenance issue of code enforcement. The proposed ordinance introduction, while geographically generic, not Dairy Township specific, it does hit close to home, especially given recent conversations regarding blight in our community, and it just points out that, yes, property maintenance is an issue. Unfortunately, enlisting the services of an outside agency to solicit voluntary enrollment in a program financed by the offenders, the equivalent of asking someone to buy a boot that will kick them, tracked by a slick website may represent activity, but in our opinion does not represent progress. Essentially, what you're going to be asked to vote on tonight is an administrative solution to an enforcement problem for a subset of properties in Hershey, that being foreclosed properties. The fact is, a comprehensive property maintenance code written by those who know and understand Hershey already exists. The fact is, Mr. Emmerich and the code enforcement officers are a dedicated and professional team. I have had personal experience with that. Came out and checked out a garage of mine that needed painting. But they need to be empowered, and offenders need to be held accountable. The fact is, the current complaint-based system, which is code for neighbor reporting on neighbor, essentially neighbor turning against neighbor, is not conducive to community harmony. The fact is, the administrative process, and the unwillingness to aggressively pursue defiant offenders results in a lack of code enforcement. The fact is, based on the 2015 annual operating budget, last year the Hershey Public Library collected $30,000 in fines related to library goods, while the township collected $500 in property-related fines. Said another way, Hershey librarians were 60 times more successful in protecting thousands of dollars of library property than the township was in protecting millions of dollars in home values and the services financed by our tax base. Maybe some of this comes as new information to you, and I share it with all due respect. The problem and the opportunity is bigger than the proposed foreclosed property ordinance. The solution resides in this room, it resides in this town, and it resides in the enforcement of existing codes. It doesn't reside in another state, it doesn't reside in a fancy website, and it does not reside in another administrative activity. So, just personally speaking, we remain committed to partnering with you or members of your staff if invited to do so moving forward. But I'll not address you in this forum regarding this topic after tonight, and that's not a threat, it's just out of courtesy to you. You don't need to hear from me again. I pretty much have laid it out on the line. I thank you for your time, your attention, and your consideration, and I know that each of you cares deeply about our community. I thank you for your dedicated service, and I trust you'll continue to do what's best for the community. Thank you.
Thank you. And just so the record is clear, I'm not sure if you stated your name.
Sorry.
And your address.
Steve Roberts, 1223 Limerick Court.
Steve, thank you very much for your comments.
Sure.
Very much appreciated.
Can I?
Please.
Steve, I'll thank you as well for your comments very much. You can sit down, but I come again. Don't say this is the last time you're coming. This is an issue that has been advocated for a while. We need to continue to advocate for it. And I think, I wasn't at the last meeting, but I understand that someone was here making comments. And I mean, was there an update given as to where we stand with the property maintenance program? And there was?
Yes.
Because this was, what we're looking at tonight, and I think your understanding is lacking a little bit. It's not an optional program. It's mandatory, and they will track and make sure that any foreclosed properties actually are reported. So foreclosed properties will not fall through the cracks with this. But it's something that it's important that we continue to push. And you know, we as a board have wanted to see a program developed. And there was a you're telling me that there was an update given at the last meeting.
Steve, you spoke at the last meeting.
I did,
correct.
Yes.
And then you and Chuck and your group have met, correct?
No.
No.
No, we met initially two times last year, and we're told that when I think it was Chris Brown, is that this consulting group?
Yes, Chris.
Great. That when they were going to be involved, that we would be brought in and could provide input. It's the first I've met Chris Brown. Okay. So I know that the group community development is extremely busy. I know there's a lot to do. My biggest frustration is, and I don't want to quote Chuck out of respect, but it is an enforcement issue, and I'm not convinced he's empowered and has the support judicially to do what he needs to do to move things forward. And there are a lot of properties, there are some properties that remain on the list, and it's causing problems in town, and it's eventually, as documented, will eventually hurt property values and our tax base. And it's just too good of a town to let that happen.
So I feel as a board, we have empowered our staff to do this. And this was brought up last summer. We had consensus from the board to get behind this. And it was brought up in the summer because it was before budget time. And it really is time that we, if it's constraints on time, which I know you're working through a comp plan zoning update right now, it's taking a lot of time. But I think we as a board, and we can agree, this is important to us. So if we need to go outside for contract help or whatever, I mean, I think we've said this is a priority. We want to see action.
I know we've been somewhat proactive legally, I believe, in pursuing.
Yeah, so everyone's clear. I thank you for your comments. I think they're dead on. And not, so Chuck isn't just getting, you know, taken to the woodshed here by us and everybody. It should be noted that we have attempted a substantial amount of enforcement. I can think of one property owner. I think we're pushing $10,000 right now in hard dollar costs to enforce that. And we have not been successful. And I don't think it's for lack of teeth in our ordinance or an attempt at enforcement. It really is, once it enters the judicial process, it's there that we don't have the support and teeth. And our effort is to continue to push, let's get this taken care of, let's address this, and we do, and we keep spending taxpayer dollars to fight, admittedly, a handful of people. It's not, you know, we're not looking at blocks of blight or anything like that. We have a couple pockets where we've got a few homes that are challenging at best. So that, and I'm obviously, you can see I'm trying not to name names.
Yes.
So, you know, when we look at that, it is in fact somewhat of an economic decision. Because I'm one who, with our most prominent offender, is like, sheriff's sale, do whatever you have to do. I mean, that's just, the laws are frankly not in our favor. They do not allow us, you know, if it were, we've got enough judgments, plant the flag.
Well, there has been conversation about the fact we don't want to go to the judge too often.
Correct. We not to impugn the judge, but we don't win. I mean, we win, but it's judgment.
All I'm suggesting is, you know, rather than us debate this in this forum, I'm sure that you probably have a very good relationship with the judge, and if in fact, you know, he felt that township tax base could be at risk and services in this town could be at risk, it may be a little different conversation. I'll leave it at that. I do have colleagues here, and while we haven't been able to share our plan, you said there are plans out there. We actually brought a plan with us. We can't wait any longer to share it through all the channels, so we brought it to share with you tonight. I'll turn it over to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Michael Maloney, 113 West Granada Avenue. Steve said the bulk of what I had intended to say tonight. Now, we have a plan on a page here. So just to give an idea that Dairy Cares is not, you know, just a nuisance, not a wet blanket. I mean, we have an idea, we have a plan, and the plan is looked at left to right. It kind of talks about what the current situation is, where our visions and goals are, and how to achieve these visions and goals. And the reason is because currently the ordinances that we have, these code enforcement ordinances, they are on the honor system. I mean, we have to admit it, they're on the honor system. And the problem is, in 2016, our neighbors are not living up to the honor system. So what do? The only solution is to, you know, neighbor reporting neighbor. And so that's the reason Dairy Cares is so attractive, is because people say, there's got to be a better way. Let's make a system. Let's have something that, you know, proactive code enforcement. And that's what we want. And so as we brainstormed over meetings and really came up with all the different facets of what needs to be done, we made this plan on the page. Now, Chuck had his plan presented in December, and many of his objectives overlap ours. So I think that's a positive thing. But I just wanted to acknowledge that the honor system is not effective. We have to admit it. Otherwise, all the houses would be, you know, bright and shiny and without these code violations. One question that I did have regarding the ordinance tonight is that Chuck acknowledges that there's about 46 foreclosed properties in the township. So the properties are known, they're aware. Once again, why do we need to have this outside company come in to do the work for us if we already know what the properties are?
Let me just answer that quick. Sure. I got the number from Steve Seidel with the community champions.
Okay, sure.
That's why we need them.
Nonetheless, it's going to break in about $4,000 a year is the money that would come in. I'm just concerned with what can we do with just $4,000 a year to really go after this substantial, systematic problem. So thank you very much. This is our plan on the page. If you have any questions, we're, of course, always open to talk about it. But, yeah, we do have our goals set up. Thank you.
Anyone else? nothing further by way of visitor and public comments. I'd like to move or ask for a motion that we approve the March 22nd, 2016 minutes.
So moved.
Second by Mr. Foley. Moved by Susan. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And those minutes are unanimously approved. Turning to new business, Section A1 through 2, the adoption of Resolution 1467, designating the nation for the Township of Derry for financial assistance from the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency.
Members of the board, Lieutenant Roach. Back in January 2016, obviously, the township was afflicted by Winter Storm Jonas. Middle of February, I submitted a public disaster assistance application to the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency. On March 29th, we received word that FEMA has approved 75% cost share for the expenses associated with the storm cleanup. I had a meeting last week with our FEMA audit team. One of the requirements in order to accept the financial assistance is to adopt a resolution recognizing an authorized agent to execute all legal and financial documents associated with the storm funding. We've identified James Negley to be the authorized agent for this cause.
Any questions for the lieutenant? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Moved by Mr. Foley, seconded by Mr. Ware. All those in favor, say aye. Opposed? And the resolution is adopted unanimously. Turning to item B1 through 11, consideration of adoption of ordinance number 676, adding chapter 99, foreclosed property registration, to the code of the Township of Derry. Mr. Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This ordinance, as noted, will establish the requirement that foreclosed real properties are registered, maintained, and secured by the mortgagees, and it will provide for penalties, enforcement, regulations, limitation, and reduction of foreclosed real property. The adoption of this ordinance will allow community champions to assist the township with the often complex challenges of dealing with lending institutions and foreclosed properties through their website tracking system, their ability to deal with the banks of Wall and Eastern Seaboard and many other municipalities gives them a cutting edge. Through this program, it will provide $100 to the township for registration, $100 to community champions per registration, which means the township not only sees that $100 revenue, but they also see $100 worth of work from community champions. This ordinance has been reviewed by John Yost and found to be acceptable. As I note in the budget section, although, you know, initially the initial registration is going to be in the area of 40 properties, the cycle of properties, according to community champions, will generate about $2,800 to $3,500 a year, depending on foreclosures. We're not looking to make a lot of money out of this, nor do we want to see foreclosed properties, but that's just their projections based on their knowledge. I'd like to give you a little example of a foreclosed property and what we went through. It's on Chocolate Avenue. And starting in April of 2009, we started citing it for high grass weeds. And again in May and June and July and August. Then it was posted for sheriff's sale in actually June of 2009. It never really went to sheriff's sale. In 2010, then we again became the grass managers. In 2014, we noticed that there was a hole in the side of the building and a hole in the roof of the detached garage. We filed charges against both the bank, since it was tendered for foreclosure, and against the property owner by deed. We ended up in court with a dismissal because we were getting a story from the property owner that he couldn't get into the property to maintain it. And the bank was non-responsive. The bank came to the initial hearing with a letter stating that the property owner could get into the property, so we dropped our charges to allow resolution. We're really after resolution, not the fines. It was again listed for sheriff's sale, actually April 21st of 2016, it was in a listing. That sheriff's sale was postponed to June 2nd, 2016 because of trying to get agreement with the property owner. And that may actually go to September 18th if they don't get agreement in a reasonable amount of time. All during this time, we're in trying to contact the bank, which did change during the term between 2009 and today. Today I was at the district justice office with a representative of the bank, where they have admitted that they now own the property. They are having contractors get them bids on repairing the, I'm sorry, not that they own the property, but that they possess the property. They are having contractors get costs for repairing the roof of the whole garage. And the judge asked for progress by August 2016. So there's a 2009 to today telling of what happens in foreclosed properties. And that's why I think that this ordinance is going to be just a key component to our overall plan.
Thank you, Chuck. We also have two other items on the agenda, D1 through 9 and E1 through 3. You obviously provided a very detailed explanation of C1 through C3. Do you have any other additional comments with respect to D1 and E1, since they are related to the consultant agreement?
So the next agenda item is strictly the resolution for the fees associated with both the registration and the administration. And the final agenda item is approval to execute an agreement between Community Champions and the Township. I note in that agenda item that pending John Yost's review of the contract, which wasn't done when I had to have my agenda item ready for tonight, but it has since been completed, and John is okay with the contract with Community Champions, and it is in the package for signing this evening.
Are there any questions for Chuck?
Yes, Chuck. Is our maintenance ordinance enforceable in this county? Is it possible to enforce it?
Yes.
It is? Is it just the court thing that holds it up, or is there other structural things that make it so difficult to get properties repaired?
It depends on the offense. Sometimes we're very successful with a phone call. Sometimes we're successful with a letter. Sometimes we have to go to court. So it depends on the severity of the offense and who we're dealing with and how it's all coming together. Last month, we did 116 building code inspections, 15 property maintenance, zoning violation inspections. So, and now it's going to really kick off here as we come into the spring. What my predecessor called Hate Your Neighbor Month, you know, the first time it's nice and sunny out. But the code that we use is the International Property Maintenance Code. It's not a very long book. It's used universally through many municipalities, really across the country. It is an international code. It's enforceable, it's clear, it's encompassing.
My second part of the question follows up on Justin. Do we need more money in the budget? And should we use the income from this ordinance to get that process started, to get some money in the budget to help this process out?
So when we set up accounts internally here, they have to be tracked. We're working with finance to try and track them on the revenues that come in under this program to keep kind of promoting property maintenance, whether it's working with Dairy Cares on maintenance of those less fortunate that may need some assistance. If Dairy Cares is willing to paint, maybe we can buy paint. Those type of things. To put a staff person on, the paper that I handed Justin is the many-pronged programs that we're trying to pull together to improve the overall property maintenance program. And that includes looking at bringing on a property maintenance inspector in the fall of 2016. At least getting it that's going to be in next year's budget, if nothing else.
So to maybe answer the concerns of some of the folks who've come to talk from Derek here is this ordinance isn't the solution. It's just a part of the overall solution, correct?
It's one piece.
They
say that there's no progress, just action. I say there can't be any progress without action.
And remind us with this contract, what's the term, the length? Is there, what's the out?
A two-year contract.
Is there an early out if for whatever reason you felt it wasn't?
All my dealings with this company thus far have been incredibly professional, incredibly pleasant. I've been to Building Code Association meetings where they've talked about, other municipalities have talked about hiring this firm, and they've all been very impressed. I think it's going to be very pliable how we.
Yeah, no, it seems like a very.
How we put it together.
Part of the overall solutions.
Our local contact, if you recall, was a Lower Paxton, Swidera Township Commissioner. So he's even a local guy. He now lives in Lower Paxton Township.
Chuck, why is the collection rate or registration rate only 85%? So that's who they reach out to all the folks that showed all the foreclosed properties, and what, 85% of the banks sign up?
85% registered. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. That's the numbers that they have. You know, again, they started in Florida where the foreclosure crisis is very large.
Yeah.
And they've expanded out through them. So that's their rate throughout the states they work.
Okay. And then jumping subjects a little bit on this update that you gave me, the complaint reporting process has been updated.
Yes.
So you can get on the website.
Yes.
File complaints there. Okay. And then the only other comment would be, if there's a contract service for something like this, then, you know, we use inspection services for building permits. Is there any contract services out there where we could potentially get started with this before we add more employees or another employee? And also, theoretically, we could attack this problem and maybe then, you know, in theory, it could taper off if we hit it hard.
But Terry Katz.
Yeah.
All right. Spicy. I did run some numbers about 2 years ago on using third party for property maintenance. I don't have them with me. I'll be happy to provide the supervisors with those.
Chuck, I think we spoke about this before, because as you quite happily describe the overall process, identifying deficient properties is only the first step of a multi-step process. And oftentimes, the delay occurs after the identification of the deficient property. Am I being accurate? Mm-hmm. Such that once a property is identified and it attempts to amicably resolve the deficiencies have been exhausted, then obviously we pursue legal remedies, which brings with it its own set of delays and procedural mechanisms which have to be fulfilled. All of those attempts to amicably resolve matters, unfortunately, can considerably delay, resolution of a particular property, because obviously it's most cost effective to amicably resolve something if property, and we're ultimately concerned about resolution rather than enforcement. Those processes can often result in a delay, and then ultimately when the rug is pulled out from underneath those attempts and we result to the legal process, which is costly and time consuming, it unfortunately does result in additional time. Now, I've heard on at least two occasions the phrase neighbors reporting neighbors. And I understand that that is just one of the ways by which a deficient property can be identified. But in the event a neighbor reports a neighbor and wants to remain anonymous in that reporting, Do you nevertheless go out and inspect that property, regardless of whether the complainor is identified?
And that's a secret. Yes, we do.
Okay. So, in other words, in many, if not all, the fact that a neighbor complains against a neighbor is not an impediment to identifying a particular property as being deficient. Now, obviously, there are some cases in which if a complaint comes in, there can only be one or a handful of people making the complaints. So in those situations, obviously, the complainers can be easily identified. But there are occasions when, and we do not want to discourage anonymous complaints, if appropriate, as well. And we do not want to give anybody the impression that by remaining anonymous, the identification of deficiencies will not be made.
And quite frankly, even if it's a signed complaint, we don't readily or easily turn that name over to anybody. More often than not, when the people are on the phone and guessing, they're not guessing the right person.
Right. Regardless of whether we unilaterally identified that property or not.
Right. And I've tried to get away from a lot of the phone conversation about it was from a complaint.
Right. The issue
it's
is
a violation
fixing
of
the ordinance. Right. Rather than who made the complaint.
And I just I also brought this up for the board to see. This is only from 2014. The house that I told you about that I was in court for today. This is the file on it. Only from 2014.
But the long and short of it, though, I think, is we need to be ever vigilant in this process and making sure that we continue to move this ball forward.
I think Chuck and his department have, and certainly all of us and our predecessors have been. Chuck, I'm assuming you've benchmarked similar-sized communities and their programs. Have you kind of gleaned anything from what they do that you might be able to replicate?
We are among the majority in being a complaint municipality. I ran my own, so we're involved in two different organizations, well, more than two, but PSATs, of course, and also Lancaster County has a really well put together code officials group that has people in it from York County, from Lebanon County, from Dauphin County. I did a Survey Monkey poll there, and again, I'd be happy to share that information with the board. I don't have it tonight, but it's not an unusual way to do property maintenance because of the staff that would be needed to do otherwise.
If we pass this ordinance tonight, what would the next step be? You have a recommendation.
Next.
So in the multi-pronged approach.
Yeah.
You mean? I handed my list to Justin.
Okay. Right.
He can pass it down to you.
Anything else?
Chris did have something.
Please.
Yeah, just a couple points to point out. There was the plan that's being passed around was given out, I think, probably back at the November meeting when we first talked about this. And Chairman Moore, I think you made a very important point that this is certainly just a first step or one of many steps. Your comment about the neighbor-to-neighbor, that was sort of priority one, making it an online form, was to take out some of that burden of knowing who submitted complaints and try to make it a little bit more friendly to track those things. A couple other pieces of information. We talk a lot about reporting the problem and identifying the problem. One of the biggest defenses against that is to prevent it from ever becoming a problem. And that's part of the advocacy and education components that are part of the plan that's being passed around the U.S. on November. That's things that we're working through with Tom and his crew at Public Works. So there's a lot of really interesting proactive ways when Derek Cares asked the question about what are some of the ways that other people are doing it. There are a lot of ways that are already being identified here. We just need to get them on the ground. And that's part of this. Commissioner Susan Court asked about what's the next step. Those are some of the next steps, getting those things on the ground. The other piece of it is we have great data about how many complaints you service every year, but we've talked at length in November and December about not knowing quite the specifics and being able to understand the data that we have and starting to tailor-make some education and advocacy programs that relate to the most common complaints. If high grass is the most common complaint, There are lots of ways to address that that are being practiced in communities locally, in communities regionally, and lots of resources that we can tap into at the township here that we've identified, but we're not quite to that level of collecting that data yet. There are some really interesting tools that you already have in place to help to sort of round out the blight battling toolkit that you have here. So we're working our way towards that. It is a slow process. We recognize that, but and I want to make it clear, we're always, I'm certain if there are more comments, I'm glad to have this tonight. Great comments on here. We'll certainly have to blend those in what's going on, but I just want to make that comment before we report that. So.
Thank you, Chris. With that, do we have a motion to approve resolution number 1466?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley, seconded by myself. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And resolution 1466 is approved unanimously. And that dovetails on item number D1.
I want to make one comment before we move on.
Okay.
Chris and Chuck, thank you. You've finished up a comp plan, working on zoning updates. There's a lot going on.
Official match.
It's
right
now. Only
so,
April.
Yeah, right. So thanks for the hard work you've done. So,
thank you. Do we have a motion to enter into a professional consulting agreement with Community Champions to provide professional services in association with Chapter 99 Township Code?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Foley, seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that approval is granted unanimously. The next item we have is for consideration of the release of the remaining balance of the performance security providing for the preliminary final subdivision and stormwater management site plan for 11 and 19 East Chocolate Avenue, plat number 1238. Mr. Emmerich, is this housekeeping?
Ordinary business for a full release.
All those are
so moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley, seconded by Susan. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the release is granted unanimously. Agenda item F1 through 3, a consideration of the release of the maintenance security provided for the preliminary final land development plan for the Milton Hershey School Springboard Academy and Innovations Lab, plant number 1089. Any questions, Matt? Also housekeeping, sir?
For a full release, yes.
All right. Do we have any motion?
So moved.
Second. Moved by Mr. Foley, seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? And the release is approved unanimously. This one, sir. Correct. Consideration of the adoption of ordinance number 676, adding chapter 99 to the code of Derry Township for the foreclosed property registration.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley, seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And that ordinance is adopted unanimously. Turning to G1 through G2, consideration of releasing the performance security provided for the preliminary final land development plan for 565 East Chocolate Avenue, plat number 1090. Housekeeping.
This is really close to housekeeping, but let me just tell you a little story.
Please.
So 555 East Chocolate Avenue had an office building proposed on it. It went to plan of record under plat 1090. That plan was recorded. The recently recorded hotel plan voided that plan. Because the prior plan was recorded, there was security posted for it because we require them. So we are now releasing that security from the voided plan. So it's a little different. But
thank you for that clarification.
Sure.
Do I have a motion for consideration?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley, seconded by Mark Moyer. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that release is approved unanimously. Item number H1 through 3, filling the vacancy of the Board of Derry Township Industrial and Commercial Development Authority. Jill?
We have a candidate, Thomas Falston, who has applied for a 4-year term to the Industrial Commercial Development Authority.
Any questions or comments by the board?
Tom's an outstanding community member. I think he would do a great job.
And a community member who's extremely well qualified. He's a banker with PNC who just retired. He was instrumental in financing the Giant Center, so he knows the Giant Center very well and other assets held by the ICDA. So, yeah, he's a great guy. He's going to be a good asset.
All right. Thank you. All those in favor of filling a vacancy board for the ICDA as proposed? Aye. Do you have a motion? I'm sorry.
So moved.
I'm sorry. Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that vacancy is filled unanimously. Item I-1, authorization to conduct the annual Memorial Day Parade on Monday, May 30th, 2016 at 10 a.m. Mr. Mandia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is our annual request to conduct the annual Memorial Day Parade on Monday, May 30th at 10 a.m. The staging and release location for the parade will be the Recreation Center, and we'll be leaving at 10 o'clock. The route is the same as it's been in the past several years.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? And the authorization is granted unanimously. Item J1, authorization to conduct specific programming within Choctawtown Park during the summer of 2016. Mr. Mendian.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In a continuing effort to work collaboratively with the Downtown Hershey Association in producing an active and vibrant downtown, we've tentatively scheduled 8 paint and create classes in Choctawtown Park between the dates of June 3rd and September 10th. These classes have between 10 and 15 participants. There is a BYOB component. As per our ordinance, board authorization is required for events, including alcohol, within Choctawtown Park. So at this time, we're requesting approval for this program.
Any questions or comments? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And the authorization is granted unanimously. Items K1 through 2, authorization for a Life on Chocolate civic banners to be located along West Chocolate Avenue. Mr. Herman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So again, this year, the Downtown Hershey Association, in cooperation with the township, is running their Life on Chocolate series, which includes the Music on Chocolate, Art on Chocolate, Farmers Market, and other events. As last year, we had an A-frame sign that we put our banners on. I say we because I'm also part of DHA. This year, we're looking at doing the same A-frame sign with a harder, the corrugated plastic so that it holds up better, it looks better. So we're doing that with the, we're asking permission to do that with the A-frame. We are also anticipating putting some notices on the building that's located at the corner of West Chocolate Avenue and Ridge Road. That owner has been kind enough to allow us to put banners there in the past, including Chili Cook-Off, which was approved last year as a perpetual approval, by the way. And finally, there's likely to be some banners for some of these events over on the new Choctawtown Park in front of the theater. So I'm looking for approval for this series of events for the 2016 year.
Any thoughts or comments?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley. Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that authorization is approved unanimously. Item L1 through 3, authorization for Coco Castle banners to be located along Coco Avenue. Mr. Emmerich.
As you're aware, Matt Mandy and his team are working on updating the Coco Castle. They would like to put up banners to both, you know, announce the fundraising that they're doing and also the sponsorships that they've received. So they'd be looking at putting up 2 3x8 banners facing Coco Avenue attached to the chain link fence on that side of the property for the term of the project.
Any thoughts or comments? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that authorization is approved unanimously. Items M1, request for Hershey Entertainment and Resorts to hold the Color Run on HENR properties on Saturday, June 4th. And Sunday, June 5th, 2016. This event will include the closure of North Cockersville Road from West Hershey Park Drive to Old West Chocolate Avenue from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. each day. Chief?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an annual run. I think this is the third year for the Color Up event hosted by HNR. The proceeds from this event go to the Rett syndrome, which is a genetic postnatal disease. Once the roadway is closed off, there's no personnel that will be needed by our department to abandon those closures. It's just to provide the safety of the participants back and forth across the roadway.
Thank you. Any costs incurred to the department or the township for this event? In terms of additional police coverage or anything like that?
No. And I have contacted the ministerium just to advise them of the event and so forth, and there was no indication that there was any issues on there.
Thank you very much. Are there any thoughts or comments from any members of the board? Hearing none, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley. Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And the request of this agenda item is granted unanimously. N1, request to conduct a walk celebrating the Feast of Corpus Christi, requested by the St. Joan of Arc Parish on Sunday, May 29th, 2017. Is that accurate? 2017?
I'm sorry, that'd be 2016.
Okay. Sunday, May 29th, 2016, starting at 1 p.m. on various township roadways. Chief?
I guess I'm a year ahead of myself. This is an annual walk that St. Joan of Arc Parish holds. It usually encompasses a few blocks around the church where they have many participants participate in the walk. We usually staff this with personnel that are working. So if there are any crossings at the intersections that need manned, we'll schedule people to go ahead and work that regular shift so there's no extra costs incurred. I think the one year we might have had one officer on overtime, but it was only for a couple hours. And they agreed that if there are any extra costs incurred, that they would be responsible for that.
Thank you, Chief. Any thoughts or comments? Any road closures by this event, Chief?
It'll be a rolling road closure just to get participants across the intersections. Once they're across, they open up that intersection and let things flow.
Do we know which roads are going to be affected?
It has the path of the walk here. We'll travel north on Glen Road to Granada Avenue, then turn left on the Granada Avenue, travel west to Hillcrest, travel south to Arriba, and then travel east back to the church.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. And Jill, also with respect to the color run as well as this item, if we could make sure that we publish the anticipated road closures as early as possible on our township website, just to alert people of changing traffic conditions as early as possible, that'd be greatly appreciated. Are there any thoughts or comments from members of the board regarding the St. John walk? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And that request is granted unanimously. O1 through O2, authorization to proclaim April 29th, 2016, the observance of Arbor Day in Derry Township. Tom?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As part of the criteria that we need to complete to apply for Tree City status, which we've done and have been successful in the last 24 years, this is one of the items that we need to address, and Pennsylvania in general uses the last Friday in April as Arbor Day. So the approval of this proclamation will complete one of the pieces that we need to submit for Tree City status again at the end of the year.
Thank you. Any thoughts or comments?
What are the other criteria?
The others aren't quite as much criteria. The only real other criteria is the amount of money spent per capita on trees, beautification, things of that nature. The others aren't really set in stone. It's just more of a survey of what we do all those. But the Arbor Day proclamation and the amount of money we expend for capital, which I think I think the last time I looked at that, it was $2.75 or $3 per person. It's not much, but we more than need it with the work support that we do in the parks and planning and things such as that.
And Tom, I understand that we are actually going to be planting some trees, the township, at the Kurt Kiss Hershey Back event on May 7th. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're starting to plant now and all through the planting season. We'll be doing that on and off in various locations.
Fantastic. Thank you. Do we have a motion for the authorization to proclaim April 29th, 2016 as the observance of Arbor Day?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Ware.
You got to be fast tonight.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that authorization is approved unanimously. P1 through 4, approval of intermunicipal wood waste disposal agreement. Tom?
The board might remember several meetings ago, I brought before you two intermunicipal agreements with the school district, Lord Offit, and the borough of Hummelstein. This is part of our grant submission for reimbursement for the tub grinder that we have in this year's budget. So this is the final wood waste agreement with South Hanover Township. We've been working with them for a number of years. It just formalizes this process for the grant application.
Thank you. Any thoughts or comments? None noted. Do we have a motion? I'll make the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Foley. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And the approval is granted unanimously. Turning to correspondence, I'll start with my left. Susan?
One thing I wanted to mention, this isn't still anything you're going to share, but the Downtown Hershey Association was very honored to receive an award from the Hershey-Harrisburg Regional Visitors Bureau for best new event series. So we were really excited to accept that on behalf of our community and also to receive a $5,000 tourism grant from the organization to help promote the ongoing efforts and hopefully make 2016's Light Brown Chocolate Series even more well promoted and well attended than last year. Other things, just to make sure everyone has on their calendar, Monday the 18th at 6 o'clock in this room, right, Barb?
At the library.
At the library, thank you. You're holding a public meeting about stormwater and the transfer of that stormwater from the township to the municipal authority. The community is invited to come out and learn a little bit more about that at 6 o'clock at the library on Monday. And I'll be attending, I think, with probably a lot of my cohorts here at the PSATS convention next week at Hershey Lodge. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we can learn from other township supervisors from around the state.
Thank you, Susan. Matt?
Since our last meeting, we did have another stormwater utility meeting with DTMA, and it was a very productive meeting. And again, the public meeting will be Monday, the 18th, library. I did have a chance to attend the Swatara Township comprehensive plan draft meeting where they presented their plan, and it really indicates how unique Hershey is, I think. We did a great job with it. I'm not saying that they did not do a good job over there. And also, I had the opportunity to attend at Milton Hershey School, the Career and Technical Education Conference, which is a real feather in the hat for our schools in this township. I think they're real leaders in what's happening in education. And finally, as Susan said, we're going to be attending the PSATS Conference at the Motor Lodge.
Thank you, Matt. I have been provided a letter to several residents received along the power lines, which goes through, I believe, Deer Run and South Point and near Stone Creek, announcing PPL's plans to replace and upgrade an older 69 kilovolt power line. And there's been some concerns about what PPL intends to do, how they intend to do it, when they intend to do it. and the effect of condemnation on property of adjacent property owners. And Jill, I know you may have reached out to PPNL earlier. I'd like to just officially express the concern of many of our residents on the implications of this and the details of this, from what is going to be done and when this upgrade is going to be accomplished and the potential impact on that. So if we could remain proactive on that, perhaps calendar a semi-regular call or correspondence to PPNL, asking them to keep us timely advised of their intentions, I'd like to push this information out to affected residents as early as possible to keep them as informed as possible on this, if that would be possible. So I'd really appreciate that, John. All right. John? A couple of just things that I've been attending, so that helping Mr. Gamble with some of his questions. PPNL luncheon, as we talked about, the responses to storms, changes that they're making in their line systems, and how they are looking at the future lines and how that's going to impact the delivery of power throughout the community. So I was there with a handful of state senators and representatives and our county commissioners and various leaders of the PPNL organization. In addition, I have been at least three or four meetings with in relation to the ICDA and the new fire station project, with the accountants, the project managers, and the members of the fire department and their building committee, as we wind that project down and also continue our ongoing fundraising. In addition, I've had half a dozen meetings so far on the open house for the fire station, or the ribbon cutting. So that has been ongoing since the last meeting. In addition, I have met with, I should say met with, but Matt and I shared the attendance at the CTE symposium, I think it was, up in Milton Hershey School. Had a number of great speakers, and I'll just echo Matt's sentiments in that we are really fortunate to have the career in technology education that we have here in our community. It's just, they're really forward-thinking. In a time where most folks are thinking you have to just go to college, because there's kids that may or may not be needing that. In addition to that, I've had a couple of meetings with regard to Park Boulevard and the lighting on that road. And then earlier today, Justin Engel and I met with our township engineer, or representative, his boss, Matt's boss, with regard to all the various projects going on in the township. And it was a rather extensive list and a lengthy meeting.
I mean, we do monthly.
We do that meeting. Yeah, it's a regular occurrence, but it just keeps us going. I think there's 9 projects right now. 9 significant projects going on right now in the township as it relates to transportation, and we continue to team more up. So.
Yeah. And so then we get an update from the engineers, we talk with HRG, and then we provide a copy of the board's report and see everything that's going on with all the transportation projects. I'm going to bring up the Oakmont crossing, I guess. Could I already bring that up? We talked about it a couple weeks ago, a month ago, I guess it was, and we did get the report. I don't know if everybody's had a chance to review it or not. It's making a recommendation that Limerick is the best place to put the crossing.
Westbound
of Limerick. Yeah, go ahead, if you want
to. Sure. Last meeting we talked about, we had got the survey information and did some base mapping. With that survey information, we would confirm what we thought we knew as far as the safe site distance there. And it is better on the western side there of the intersection than the eastern side. You guys asked us to look at alternative, essentially 3A and 3B. And once we had the survey information, the distance and the slope between Wood Road and the trail wasn't that different between the two. So, with that being said, we progressed the design of 3B, which which is on the western side, because that side, we believe, is more safer, has a greater stopping distance there. So that is the information I sent you today. Along with the alignment, we have shown some proposed signage, and also...
Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
Chris, I sent it to you. Is there any chance we could bring it up on the screen?
Just send it to me?
Yeah.
No pressure.
And Matt, I noticed that the trail side is on an angle. Is that because of the slope of that side, the terrain slope on that side?
Right. Yeah, if you drop straight off, it'd be much too
right. deep. And if you could articulate the sight distance that envisioned by this particular configuration, that'd be helpful, I think.
So while that's coming up, I'll ask a question, Matt, that occurred to me while I was looking at it. It's so there's a cost estimate of, if we put it out to bid, between $25,000 and $30,000 to do this project. And you know, there's so clearly we need a crosswalk, and clearly the guardrail needs to have a break in it. But many times you see crosswalks without full-blown ADA sidewalks on either side. For instance, PennDOT will put in a traffic light somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and they put a crosswalk. So my question is, does it have to be what, bituminous sidewalk, as you guys call it? I mean, does it have to be that way, or is there a way to do it?
Well, it has to be a stable surface. To be ADA compliant.
And does it have to be ADA compliant?
We think, being that it's a township public project, we leave all our designs to be ADA compliant. So that would be my recommendation, just to protect township.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any feelings? I mean, you go into a lot of communities and you see trails, and they're not always paved and pretty and 5 feet, and it's a lot of money. It's a great crossing. We know we need it, but it's not going to be used all day long. I mean, it's fairly limited, and you know, I think it's something that we have to consider whether there is a.
Well, that was something that it does appear to be somewhat unusual in that it's a very finite, at least on the opposite side of Wood Road, that sort of curve right there, without that being connected to sidewalks or anything like that. And
so it's not a accessible down.
Right. I mean, you're going to have to step up onto it to get onto it and off of it. And then the question is, do we want to enter into a dialogue with Oakmont as to whether or not they want something adjoining that on the community side, perhaps a sidewalk of some sort, so that its residents can then walk along the sidewalk to get onto that and thereby then cross the road. But I'm not sure how that discussion, you know, will go and whether they'd be willing to do that. I don't know. It certainly would be neat, I think, if it'd be possible to create something adjacent to the bottom half of that little curve there, to sort of complete that in terms of walkability. But yeah, but that's I think a subject for another day. Right now we're just looking at the 3D option, 3B,
3B right.
option.
B, yeah. And I believe the existing thought is to use the roadway network to access the trail towards Bullfrog Valley.
And I see is that one of those bumpy surfaces right there?
Yeah. So that is a detectable warning surface. So it's the bumpy things you see on a ramp.
To go from the road surface up to the...
The path.
The path, yeah. Right.
Now, okay. Talk about the raised sidewalks as well.
Well, the raised crosswalk is a potential option that you could add to this. That would be right here, and that would elevate that crosswalk crosswalk a little bit.
That helps to calm the traffic then?
It does. It does two things. One, it takes the height of the pedestrian up slightly. So you have just a little bit better sight distance either way. Cars coming down can see the pedestrian a little bit sooner. But also with the minor hump there, once cars and vehicles got used to that, they're going to start slowing down because they know they need to go over that. So I want to make it clear that's not required to meet the sight distance both ways, but it could be an added safety feature.
I know we need to discuss this, but of course they'd like that feature.
Absolutely.
For pedestrian safety and just reminding drivers.
So you had asked me to mention about the sight distance. So this is 30 miles an hour through there. So the required sight distance that you need to meet that is 217 feet. At this location, we can have speeds coming here of 45 miles per hour. And essentially, once you come over the hump, going 45, you still wouldn't be able to stop before that crosswalk. Coming eastbound, you could be going 50 miles an hour and still see it and be able to stop. And that's without that race crosswalk.
So I'm curious, I'm going to be with you with PennDOT where you bring up race crosswalks and they don't like them. Why?
Well, this is not a PennDOT road. This is a township road.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring up another point. I presume, Tom, one of the reasons why raised crosswalks are not in much favor is because when plows encounter them, do they have problems plowing roads when you have raised crosswalks like that?
I know a couple communities that don't have raised crosswalks, but they have what they refer to or used to call speed tables. It's a longer area than that is within the lane. They managed to get a plow, but the speed bumps were what was the problem for a while. Okay.
So a race crosswalk like that would not impede our ability to clear this road in winter?
We'll
I mean, without destroying the plow or the road?
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
Okay.
Yeah, the bump is, it's kind of shaped like that. This would be a little bit wider there. And that's more like a speed table.
All right. Are there any thoughts or comments from members of the board?
Thanks for moving this along so quickly.
Sure. So I guess we're not ready to give direction tonight. We'll give it some more thought. I think it would be good if the Oakmont folks here take it back to Oakmont. If there's an input from Oakmont, it would be helpful to have that.
And I definitely would like to see it on the agenda as we discuss it so that people will be able to know that we're going to discuss it, consider it, and the public at large will be able to discuss that as well.
And we got it at like 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah, it was
so
hours ago.
Matt, how much more engineering is required, if any?
Not much, particularly if you decide to use township forces. We would just do some alignment work here and some details, so very minimal amount. If you would go and put this out to bid, you'd have to have bidding documents. That's where the cost would incur. But as far as engineering, he's not much at all.
Tom, is this something you're inclined to take on?
When you want to come by.
Next week's
fine. You're not sure what's going to happen.
No, if the timing's right, if you have enough time.
And is this stuff you're looking to get in this year yet? This season?
We don't need a firm commitment for you right now.
So I haven't even looked at it, don't have a clue. Depending on your bill and what have you, how much you're talking there. It's probably something we can work in.
Okay, good.
Anything else?
Yeah, I have said one thing. I just wanted to bring up again the Homestead crosswalk. Garth, we've talked about that. I think we left that where you're doing a study there. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's still where that stands?
We're doing a traffic test right now.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. Tom, I'll bring up a couple things that I could send an email about, but just, I write them down between meetings. The crosswalk at the Hershey Story, that goes from the Hershey Story to the parking garage, is fairly worn down. It's an important crosswalk there. That goes from the Hershey Story to the parking garage.
That's a private property.
Is it? So that's HNR?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Cracks in Ceylon. The crosswalks look great. Tom, thanks for putting those in. Garth, you're going to take a look at to see if there's opportunity for some additional parking there once the crosswalks are in.
Yes.
Right.
You had indicated you thought there was actually some extra parking.
Yeah, I would think correct.
Yeah, correct. Okay.
Yeah. And then, Mr. Gamble, thanks for the recommendation. It's a good one in terms of us giving these updates. We did have a rec center stakeholder meeting. It was March 30th. Matt held that here in this room. It was a good meeting. We talked about the rec center project and the possibility of the aquatic center, and we continue to work on that programming. Do you want to say anything about that?
No.
Okay. We did not have an ICDA meeting in March. On April 6th, I had lunch with Jay Wenger. Jay Wenger is a financial consultant. We, as a board, have talked about bringing on a financial consultant to help with capital planning, capital budget, some multi-year budgeting as we plan for the rec center. I was impressed with Jay. He does work for the general authority and for the county. He becomes highly recommended by the county. His practice is called the Susquehanna Group, and I wanted to see if the board would be interested in entertaining a presentation from him at our next meeting. That's something we can get consensus on.
That would be fine. If we have maybe plans to entertain any more, maybe we could figure out who they are and look at all those presentations together at some point. I'm concerned that there's too much distance between this next one and the one we had, and then maybe 2 months later we have another, it'll be more difficult to kind of...
That sounds very common sense.
But
these things are very time-consuming and relationship-oriented. Mm-hmm. So in other words...
I'm not suggesting we go and interview six firms. I'm just saying if we think there might be another one on the horizon, that we try to...
And that's right.
Together so we can have more clarity.
And you remember when we first started talking about this, the invitation was there for anybody to bring forward, you know, anybody that they felt like they wanted to put forward and talk to us. Yeah. And so we had one come and present, and so this would be a second. So by all means, anybody's welcome to at any point. It's an important function. We have to get this in place so we can...
Agreed. I was just questioning if anybody else thought they had somebody that they wanted to... report so we could kind of move through the process and make a decision.
By all means. And I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chief, anything?
I'll make this short. I just wanted to mention the police department, the fire department, and the EMS department conducted some cooperative training exercises. It's kind of the next evolution in an active shooter response, and it's a type of training to quickly identify any victims in an active shooter situation, triage them, get them out, and try to save some people in the process. So training with the fire department and EMS was coordinated through South Central Task Force. I believe it was very well received by the fire department and EMS personnel, and it was some good training to get us all on the same page in these type of responses.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The fire company will be conducting their open house on Saturday, April 23rd, from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. We're expecting a good turnout, and we hope everyone does come out and see our new station. We're very proud of it. Also, on behalf of the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company, myself and supervisor/active fire company member Foley would like to present to the supervisors this plaque of appreciation, not only for our new station, which we're very proud of, but also for all the support that we from the township supervisors throughout the year.
Anything else?
No, sir.
Very well. Tom?
Nothing, thank you.
Jerry?
I have nothing to say, thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Just very quickly, I want to update the board on two additions to our outdoor recreational amenities that we're working on, hopefully having both done by the beginning of the summer here. Those of you who know the game of pickleball, it's pretty well-known and very, very much upcoming. We're creating two outdoor pickleball courts on our existing tennis courts at the rec center. They'll be on lower courts by the basketball courts, and I think that's going to come as a welcome outdoor amenity for a lot of folks that enjoy pickleball. And secondly, a meeting with a donor who wants to remain anonymous, who is interested in funding an 18-hole disc golf course at Shank Park. We'll meet with them next week, and to get all commitments firmly in place and have that course installed at Shank by the summer. We've met with a couple folks that are very versed in design, and we've walked the course, and I think it's going to be a great amenity. You know, we see so many organized sports where you need a certain amount of folks to get a team together. This is a sport that you can either have competitive activity, or you can go up as a family or just a couple friends go up and play a game. So it's, I think it's going to be a great addition to our park system. So we hope to have those done by summer.
I heard a rumor, I can't substantiate it, but that the supervisors are going to be filled with team. I can neither confirm it or not at this point.
I'll definitely be using that for the golf course. That's a great idea. Awesome. So who are you working with to design it? If you're not at liberty to
No, the gentleman's name is Lynn Baker. He's just huge advocate for disc golf. He's been playing for years. He actually brought the proposal to us probably 10 years ago, and at that time it wasn't approved by our advisory board, some of the other folks that were involved with Shank Park.
Yeah.
But the time is right, and it's going to be it's going to be a nice addition. But he was a huge help.
And it's going to be 18 holes.
18.
Excellent. That's
great. Can't be late to meetings, though.
No excuse to be late to meetings. Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of updates. First, as relates to the TIF committee, the TIF committee is currently on hold. There's no active tax and finance projects to be considered, so the TIF committee has suspended meetings until such time as an appropriate project comes forward seeking TIF designation. So those to pick up if and when they're deemed necessary, but we haven't had any in the past several months. Second is a follow-up to Justin and John's comments on the transportation issues or transportation meeting. We're continuing to work with the Park Boulevard project to gain some information about lighting the shared use path that will run parallel to it. We had a great meeting with HRG and the construction team and Tom and the Public Works a couple of weeks ago. We have secured, it came in today, a pricing package from the contractor that's doing the Park Boulevard work, J.D. Ekman. And share that with the board for review. That would be simply the price to install concrete bases, conduit, and all the structural supports to accept lights in the future. They have not priced the lights. We've not selected a light fixture yet. We're in the process of determining which light is best for that Park Boulevard alignment. These lights do not have to light the street. They do not have to be tall overhead lights. They really are a pedestrian scale fixture. So within the township, there are several alternatives to choose from. currently considering options that include the lights that are used at the Hotel Hershey property, the lights that are used throughout the township, which are a traditional acorn fixture, as well as the lights that are currently being used on the Milton Hershey School campus, which are a very similar acorn fixture, but recently the Milton Hershey School has been able to negotiate a much better price for those fixtures. So that seems like a more affordable option moving forward at about $3,000 a fixture, which is almost half of what some of the other acorn fixtures would be, and that would be with an LED light source, which would make them some of the more sustainable fixtures in our community, which is, I think, setting the course that supervisors have set out. So we continue to do that process and look for an update in the coming days on sort of the cost impacts of that lighting project. So we'll be all updated on that.
Do these lights have to meet dark sky criteria?
They do not have to. They will be. By nature of the LEDs mount, we're able to control and have zero loss above 180 degree horizon. So they will be dark sky friendly. I don't know, Chuck, do you have that requirement? The acorn fixtures currently.
It's not required along shelter streets. It's only required in parking areas. Okay. Pedestrian areas.
So that's the nice thing about the LEDs is we're able to actually control a full 180 degree cutoff and light the surface to be very direct with our lighting. We can also increase our spacing to 100 foot between poles, which allows us to reuse a couple of the light fixtures we would need, thereby controlling our costs a little more.
Yeah.
The long-term life cycle, you're talking 18 to 22 years per light source, as opposed to maybe 4 or 5 on a traditional metal halide or high-pressure sodium fixture. So real long-term benefit for the township.
It is. It's just, maybe you gave a background, but I mean, this is an $11 million project, Matt? Is that, what is the budget, $11
million?
Yeah, no, not the ground, just the $11 million construction that was designed well, but lights weren't required. And so John and Chris and others said, you know, we can't finish this road and have this 10-foot light pedestrian lane without lights. So, you know, I applaud the effort.
And an important, you know, it's an important branding opportunity. This
really
is a really important, I mean, if you've driven out and seen the construction progress, or had the opportunity to walk it, like Tom was gracious enough to walk me through the other day, the views to your community will be vastly different when this is done, and it's a really great opportunity. So we want to make sure we handle this right. So,
thank you, Chris.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Thank you. Two updates. The other bike path, Middletown Road. We're addressing some minor PennDOT comments that we received on that package. And we have submitted the erosion and sedimentation control plan to Dauphin County Conservation District today. And I provided Chuck with our stormwater management design for that bike path. Right, asking Chris here, we're still waiting for easements from the King property.
When do you anticipate the results of that review from Dauphin County?
It'll be within a month, I would say. It's pretty quick.
Great. Any questions?
And then just Locust and Java, construction continues. They're all the way up Locust. All the illicit pipes are in. I can say Eversole is doing just a fantastic job, so much better than the previous contractors we had doing stormwater projects in this township. But they're doing a great job, and we crossed that payout number one today. So very happy with the progress of the project.
Thank you. Any thoughts or comments for Matt? Chuck?
Thank you. At the last meeting, we talked about the Stoverdale Homestead and trying to get some photographs of that. I met with Doug Elder last week. Nikki from our Historical Society was there with another member of the Historical Society. And Doug Nicotera was also there, who is a professional photographer. So he and I took photographs of the Stoverdale Homestead and the outbuildings. Mine have been delivered to the Derry Township Historical Society, where Doug's are. So that has been photographed, documented, and I think into the proper hands. About 137 pictures is what I took. There's a lot of neat things there. Along with the comp plan and the zoning map, we're also still working on the official map, and I hope to have a schedule for the board at the next meeting for that. And finally, just since property maintenance was a topic for this evening, I want to make the board aware that I will be in court again tomorrow morning on another property maintenance issue in Palmdale. In this case, we'll be going to see D.J. Cole Whitmer on Brett's Drive in Harrisburg because of a conflict with our local DJ.
Thank you. Any questions for Chuck? Chuck, just a reminder of when the public's next involvement in zoning process is going to take place.
It's going to be at the May Planning Commission meeting. Okay. When we'll be presenting it to the Planning Commission and kind of giving instruction on how to follow through.
All right. Thank you. And that will be published. The date will be published if it's not already on the website.
I think it already is,
yeah. Fantastic. Laura?
Just a couple of additional updates. The Downtown Hershey Association board met last night, and we're excited to launch our new website. That is, the address is still downtownhershey.com. We approached this as an opportunity to help people answer the question, you know, what is there to do for fun in Hershey? So we have a lot of things, you know, focused right on the downtown, but also featuring other events and activities in the community for people. Through a Hershey event calendar. It also includes a comprehensive list of businesses in the community and downtown businesses. With that, we also were excited to roll out, and some of you may have received an email if you volunteered with the organization last year for the Hershey Townies. This is a group, essentially a volunteer army of people that are interested in supporting downtown Hershey in some way. So whether it's through volunteering at events or helping spread the word about events, we're really looking forward to this group coming together as another opportunity to support the downtown. It is still part of the Downtown Hershey Association. We're looking into ways to make sure that we're reinforcing that connection continuously. But I'd encourage you to go onto our new website, again, downtownhershey.com, check that out. And there is information about the townies under the About tab as well, if you're interested in that. We do have our townie kickoff party that's scheduled for May 3rd in the evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. And again, just to emphasize that the Downtown Hershey Association is the essentially parent organization, and this is a subgroup of that, so that the Downtown Hershey Association will be the source for all information downtown.
Correct, yes. We're really looking forward to this just being another way to engage additional folks in the organization and really connect with everyone who feels connected to downtown. So, you know, we also don't want the name Townies to deter anyone. You know, we're calling it Townies, but it's really anyone that's connected to the organization, whether or not they live right downtown, live in the community, maybe they just come here for work, but feel a connection to downtown. So.
Are there any Townies here in the room?
Come on now, I want to see more hands on that. Yeah.
It's a great program. When we first, when the DHA first started, we talked about doing a Friends of the DHA,
right,
or something to start pulling people in. And this townie idea is just—it's really creative, brilliant. It should work towards really creating just a bigger army of volunteers.
Right.
And people can volunteer without signing up for that. So that's a great way to show your pride for being a supporter of everything downtown Hershey, whether you live here, work here, or you live 30 miles away. It's anybody that's just sort of excited about being a part of it and being a cheerleader for what's going on.
Right.
You don't need to buy the shirt to volunteer in an event, so it's very inclusive.
Right, yes.
You don't have to volunteer if you are a townie.
Thank you, Lauren. Appreciate it very much. Jill?
Yeah. We are scheduled this year to produce our community map and guide, and I just wanted to let you know that a representative from Municipal Publications that prints this publication for us, they're starting to sell the advertisements that go around the map that actually pay the printing costs for us.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman.
The first part of that, when is that map coming?
Well, we anticipate it'll be out around September, October, but they're starting to sell the advertisements.
And how often do you do that?
We do it every 2 to 3 years.
Laura, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I had one other update that I neglected to mention. The Downtown Hershey Association is fortunate in that we have a relationship with Hershey High School to involve some of their students and help them meet certain internship requirements. Several students were involved with the development of our new website, which is really exciting. We're looking forward to working with them in that capacity. And also to help us complete a business inventory downtown. So just a heads up that we'll have one student in particular who we're going to be announcing in the Township E-News, just to give people a heads up, but he'll be helping us to compile some information on businesses within our official designated downtown.
That's a very positive initiative.
Absolutely. Well done.
I have a question. Where am I leaving the voters? You talked about maps. One year you had the precincts on the map.
Yeah, the precincts are on it.
Time?
Yes, they're
great.
On it.
Because I get a lot of calls about precincts. Thanks.
The question was whether there'll be precincts annotated on the maps that are going to be printed up by the township, and the answer is yes. All right. Board and committee information and reports. Susan? Matt? I have nothing else. John? Justin? At this time, I'd like to have a motion for approval of accounts payable in the amount of $599,920.55. And two payrolls in the aggregate amount of $654,794.50. I'll make that motion. A second. Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And the approval of accounts payable is approved unanimously. I'd like to have our second and final visitor public comment of the evening. If someone wishes to address the Board of Supervisors. Once again, please identify yourself by name and address. And try to find
surprise, I'm back. Steve Roberts.
Thanks.
1223 Limerick Court. Rest easy. So I just wanted to give you some insight into the crossing at Wood. So thank you for pursuing that. Just a couple of thoughts before you talk to the rest of the people in Oakmont. So I ride bicycle. And when I get to the bottom of that hill, you know, it's kind of treacherous merging on. I probably need to be safer than I am. But my thought is, if we haven't done a speed analysis on that road, I know what the speed limit is, but we might want to monitor some speed on that road, because I can tell you, especially coming from the east, they're going downhill, and if they're traveling at more than 45 or 50 miles an hour, I'm wondering if people wouldn't get a little bit airborne. That would be my concern. Okay, so I don't know what that bump in the road does. I don't know what gets you airborne. I don't know what the speed has to be. I don't even know if you've done the study. But you might want to look at it, because people motor up there. That's first. Second thing is, I don't know if you've considered at all the Western, was it like the Western Gateway or something, and what impact that might have, because I can only imagine there's going to be more traffic on that road than less. So that might have some bearing on what you decide to do. The third thing is, you wouldn't want anybody to get a false sense of security just because there's a crosswalk. That used to happen in front of 19 East, right, because it's in the middle of the block. And I wouldn't want anybody coming from Oakmont to think, well, just because there's a crosswalk here, it's going to be, you know, fair game. I don't know if you've considered any kind of electronics that you could push a button and on the other side of the hill coming east, you get some flashers to say, you know, kind of like on demand, you could get some flashers. That might be helpful. And the last thing I would share with you is there's an indentation in the road. The picture isn't up there anymore, but there's a retention pond to the left at the intersection of Limerick and Wood. And there's a retention pond, and I don't know all the names for this stuff, but anyway, it bleeds into, there's a pipe that goes down and it goes under the road and it bleeds into the field over there. There's an indentation in the road, and the consensus in Oakmont is there's some leaking going on underneath there, and I guess there's bickering back and forth whether that's a Oakmont issue or a township issue. I'm not here to comment on that. But if you opened up the road to fix that, and you wanted to put in something similar to what goes underneath, what would that be, 322, like over in the Milton and Hershey School complex, it doesn't have to be big, but I'm not so sure a raised walkway or even a crosswalk in 5 or 10 years, once that gateway gets up, is going to be the safest option for you. You might want to consider, if you opened that road up, something that would go under the road. And I know it's more than $25,000, but I'm just thinking, if you've already opened up the road, if you carved out another 5-foot section, it might be an option. So I'm here just to make you aware of some of those things. Okay?
Thanks, Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Rich.
I want to thank you for sharing what you do, because it does two things. It informs the community that you're doing more than just sitting up here every other Tuesday.
Absolutely.
And it's helpful. The other only thing I want to bring to your attention is with the downtown plan and the development of the post office and stuff, has there been any consideration of putting a left turn arrow on Chocolate and Linden? Because I go to the post office quite often, and sometimes I wait till 8 o'clock at night because it's trying to make a left-hand turn going east. Because the traffic coming west, they stack up and you can't see people going out around them and continue straight through. So it's really a problem. I mean, in both sides, people are trying to make a left-hand turn heading west to go down Linden. It just stacks up. And you got to pull out in the middle of the intersection, wait for the light to turn red, and then make the left. And I'm thinking for people going to Hershey's store, they probably have the same experience. And it's a dangerous thing, because when they're stacked going west to make a left-hand turn, if I'm going into the post office, I can't see cars coming out around the side and continuing through there. So I was just wondering, with the plans of redeveloping it down there, if that was taken into consideration, particularly not knowing how long it's going to be, would that be something to consider now for the safety? Because the tourists are coming, I'm sure a lot of people want to use that parking garage, but they're going to be stacked up as it is now already. So, and Justin, is there any update, foreseeable future, when this project's going to get started again with the post office? I sent you an email about that. You were very helpful explaining to me, but is there a projected time frame, how long we can expect that to be delayed? Okay, but yeah. Maybe the idea of adding an arrow at that intersection might be a little bit better.
So,
and I think it would speed up some of the traffic coming when it's backed up past the church and all the way down there, because a lot of it is people waiting to make the left-hand turn. So, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard. Anyone else? Seeing none. Do I hear a motion for adjournment? Do we have scouts in the audience tonight? Does anyone want to come to the podium and explain what project you're working on that brings you here tonight?
I'll come up if you want.
Yeah, you both can come up if you want.
So we're Boy Scouts of Troop 203, and to complete your requirement for the communications rare badge, we had to attend a public meeting. So we had some other guys here, but they had to go. But yeah, we thought we'd sit down on this meeting to complete that requirement.
Well, thank you.
You have to tell the other one that they missed the best part.
What's
that? I don't know.
Thank you for coming. With that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
By Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Court. And all those in favor, and that is approved.